All right, good afternoon. I'm Chairman Brad Holton. Present is Commissioner Van Beek. Absent at this afternoon is Commissioner Brooks. With that, I'll call the meeting to order. And we have two items that are on the agenda, same start time. I'm going to choose to take on the second one in the list. It's going to be an action item to consider proclamation declaring the month of October as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So with that, take it away.
Well, I just want to first off start by thanking Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, just for your thoughtfulness on this proclamation. You know, domestic violence is a plague on our society. We in law enforcement see the after effects of this criminal activity and the devastation that it brings to families, and not only just for the short time, but for the long-term psychological impacts that it has on children and wives and fathers and families in general. The importance of just bringing awareness to domestic violence is at the top of our list. And that, you know, within that, we've created a whole team to basically deal with this epidemic that is going on in our communities with our victim services program and all the things that we try to throw out of it. I don't know that any of it is as important as bringing awareness to it. So I thank you for your consideration in this proclamation. And I think if we keep partnering as communities and as leaders of this community, that hopefully we can make a difference in bringing domestic violence, at least to a controllable, if not to an end, is the goal. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Greg, did you have the opportunity to talk with Commissioner Brooks? He has a position on this. I think it would be more etiquette for you to share that than.
Sure, Ms. Chair. Commissioner Brooks did talk to me, and he's in full support of the proclamation. He apologized he can't be here, but he's 100% to authorize his stamp on this to use his name.
Okay, all right.
Chairman, I've had the privilege of speaking at and representing as a board. I'm reading the proclamation. I've attended these in both Canyon and Ada County. It's a privilege to partner with the Sheriff's Office to bring awareness. It happens in a lot of different ways. It's not just physical. It could be emotional, mental, sexual, verbal. We don't want any of it because hurt people, and then it transcends to generations below that. And it's a pretty tough cycle to break out of. The Sheriff's Office has a fundraising event that helps victims for that. They do a great job. They see things that I really have a lot of admiration for the compassion in the community that they share. I know the prosecutor's office gets a piece of that too, but we are more than proud to stand united with the sheriff's office. I'm proud to read this proclamation and represent that we want Canyon County to be an amazing place, a place where homes are happy, where kids are cared for, spouses. And as this proclamation clearly states, this isn't relegated to just a socioeconomic class. This happens in a lot of areas, regardless of your wealth or poverty. So with that, Chairman, if you're ready, I will read this Domestic Violence Awareness Month proclamation. Whereas the month of October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and whereas a home should be a place of warmth, love, tranquility, and security. But each day in the state of Idaho, hundreds of victims of domestic violence and their children rely on law enforcement and the judicial system to assist them in a time of crisis, while also seeking safety and services from community-based domestic violence programs. And whereas domestic violence is a crime that transcends race, religion, age, ethnicity, and economic status, and whereas domestic violence has tremendous effects on our community, including the judicial system, healthcare systems, our schools, neighborhoods, family, and friends, and whereas in Canyon County, many agencies and organizations continue to directly confront the crisis of domestic violence in our society. Now, therefore, we, the Canyon County Board of Commissioners, take this time to remember those victims whose lives have been tragically taken, We encourage and support survivors who have escaped abuse and address the importance and value of community connectedness to prevent and respond to domestic violence. We do hereby proclaim October as Domestic Violence Awareness Month and encourage all Kenyon County residents to take an active role in addressing this issue throughout the year, particularly in the month of October. Thank you for everyone that came to be here today and for the community's support of this. And Captain, if there's someone in crisis, can you share how they can find help?
Well, obviously they can contact the sheriff's office. We both have the 911, maybe not the most appropriate way, but we also have some non-emergency lines going into our dispatch flow. It's also on our website.
Okay.
How they can, you know, get in touch or flag down an officer.
Yeah.
Any way that someone feels comfortable in speaking out or speaking to us, we will 100% get them the support that they need.
Yeah. Nampa Family Justice also has a great program. And then Hope's Door, which is an affiliate here in the county. There's people that run 24/7. Sometimes people don't know where to go. They don't want to be homeless. They don't have the resources to be on their own. But there are places that can help. And so if people need to reach out, they can do a non-emergent line. And it's tricky. There's a lot of tentacles that go out, and it takes courage to do that.
I think that's the key. The courage to speak out is the biggest obstacles that we face in this fight that we're in.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here today. So, Chairman, I would proudly put my name on this document. And then Monday, there's a ceremony in Justice Park. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
So it's become quite a tradition for us to kind of kick off the after the proclamation to have a little bit of a get together. And I believe there's a press conference there as well. And the sheriff speaks. He has pretty in-depth knowledge of the statistics and the devastating effects that it has on our communities. You know, we do a little presentation. I believe this year we're going to have some victims maybe come and speak at it. So
yeah.
It could be very impactful and probably very engaging and helpful. This is actually someone showing you the path of how to break that cycle. So
yeah.
We're excited about it. I think it'll be a good event for the community and for us.
Yeah, I think so too. And the prosecutor's office has been there. Victim witness coordinators have been there. I was surprised. I think it was 2 years ago. I was over in the admin building and listened to a testimony. And it was the woman, I actually didn't recognize her at first, but her daughter was the one that was killed in that home. And I went to high school with the mom. So pretty amazing to make that connection. Everybody knows probably somebody that's in that situation, unfortunately, and we only know what's reported. So it's bigger than we know because there's unreported crime for a lot of reasons. So anyway.
Commissioner Van Beek, procedure-wise, I'm going to try this. I would make a motion, and having heard testimony from our COO, that we authorize our signatures on this proclamation, including Commissioner Brooks.
Yes, yeah, I will second that motion.
Second on that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, and a third by signature stamp. All right, motion carries unanimously. So.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank
yes.
You. All right.
Okay.
All right, the second item on our agenda for today is a consideration adopting mobile device and remote access policy. Assume that you've had the opportunity to review this?
I have had the opportunity, as did the Chief Civil.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Mr. Chair, you want me to, I'll keep
yeah,
this
I'll,
off?
I'll let you, yep.
Okay.
I'm happy to weigh in for my opinion. Yeah, or legal opinion.
Okay.
Personal legal opinion. Yeah.
Let's get that clarified. All right.
Well, what actually really started this was a meeting with Mr. Kramer, Mr. Rizzoli, and myself around the liabilities around using personal phone devices for county business. Historically speaking, since I've been here for about 10 years, is IT has put forms out there for authorization for a mobile device, and then also a stipend, and we set that out there for remote access. The stipend was set at $55 per month for cell phones. Mm-hmm. Well, through the years, that's been kind of all over the place. I think the commissioners have seen claims for 50, 55, 45, it's kind of all over. And with this conversation kind of spurred a bigger conversation around the county going to 365, Microsoft 365 platform. And that's the office products of Word and Outlook and Excel and all those products that Microsoft offers up. Well, Microsoft also requires multi-factor authentication. It's not an option to opt out. So when you go to these products, you're going to have to authenticate, not only with your username and password, but another point of clarification to prove who you are. And we're going to do either an app on a cell phone or a fob that has a number on that you can use to validate who you are to keep it on your persons. There's never really been a formal countywide policy. And as the board has really had that commitment of policy that's countywide, and now we have that partnership with PA Boyd and the civil team working very cooperatively, and also the elected body. It's one government. It's kind of exciting to see the transparency and having the trying to unify a body like that. That's a tough order, but it's been exciting to see. So with this policy, what this actually addresses are multiple items, and I'll just kind of go through those, but I would like to have maybe PA Deputy Kramer go through the liability of a personally owned device on using for county.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll speak from the cautionary tale standpoint. As the board knows, prior to working here, I was served as litigation counsel for a number of employees. And it is just a challenging situation when I am going and saying, as a part of discovery, I need your personal cell phone. We're going to have to go through everything on your personal cell phone because you've conducted work from your personal cell phone. The text messages on your personal cell phone, I need to be able to review. We're going to have to preserve them in some capacity. Your photos on your personal cell phone, we're going to have to review those. We're going to have to preserve those in some capacity. And I need to then gather the relevant versions that have to be then disclosed as a part of the litigation process. It's usually at that moment that the person wishes that they had been using a county-owned device, something that is clearly business, something that all of their business communications and public communications come from, and maintaining that segmented aspect so that we have a clear county-owned business device that addresses these issues. So that's the legal issue, is that if you're using your personal owned device, your personal email to conduct county business, we are in a scenario where if litigation arises, we're going to need access to that to defend it, and we're going to also have to turn things over in discovery in relation to it. And then you also have the public records component of that as well. And it just takes one challenge to those things to really feel very invasive as it relates to a personal device. So,
Chairman, can we have the chief also talk about, there's another significant change happening where everyone is going to an iPhone, no more Android access. I think that's worth talking about on theirs. Those platforms are really different.
So, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, there's 5 points I want to call out.
Okay.
That this all addresses. I want to make sure it's very clear that it addresses all those points.
Mm-hmm.
So the first point where Deputy Kramer said is no more personally owned devices to do county business, period. That is the bottom line for this policy. The second thing is it's the removal of stipends. So we're removing stipends at the $55 or whatever that rate may be for the offices and departments. And the goal is to have that removed, have an October 2025 being the last month of stipends. November 1st, we either have a county owned device or a fob to log in to the system. I'll get to that point. So, and then I did some analysis on the removing of the stipends. We roughly have, and the reason why this policy is so important on the security of Canyon County and our public's data is we have about 1,200 mobile devices running around outside of the county, either being a laptop, a mobile device, a cell device, it's a lot. And we're trying to secure all of that to make sure our data is not getting exposed. Of those 1,200, we have roughly 57 stipends out there at $55 a month and on personally owned devices. We have 258 county-owned devices. Okay, those are already in play, a mixture between Android and iPhone. We have 256 devices we have no idea. The user account is enabled to be able to sync to a phone, and we have no idea to find out where it is. If they're using it, that's a problem. This addresses all of that. And then the remainder of the devices are laptops and other devices that are out there. But I did the numbers. The average cost per line per month on Verizon is $36 versus the $55 stipend that's been approved. So if you look holistically over a fiscal cycle, it's about a $10,000 savings. Because you do the math, allocate a couple thousand for accessories, and then the savings is truly on top. So is it another cost savings measures? And that's the reason why we did the 55 is to give the user the ability to buy a case to protect the device. That's the difference. That's why we gave more money on that. So there's a major problem we have on security out there, but this fixes and will be fixed pretty quick. So the stipends being removed. Now, Commissioner Van Beek, to your point, standardizing on iPhones, that is something I hold dear to my heart because there's a lot of Android users out there, but they are a security nightmare. There's a reason why if you have an Android, the RCS, which is a new function that Android brought out, which is called Rich Communication Services. If you're an iPhone user, you're used to when you're texting back and forth, you see the bubbles, you see the delivered, the read. That was Android's version of that, but all government Android devices were disabled to use that function. The carriers are not even allowed to have RCS turned on if you're on a government account. So that was them displaying of the problem. Department of Defense, they've been pretty close to say that iOS really is the most secure because iOS, Apple devices are a canned ecosystem. So to break into that ecosystem, it's pretty difficult. Androids is an open source market, which means it's designed for the developer who wants to create their own apps, run their own stuff, have autonomous on their device. Now, Samsung's done a good job locking that part down, but that's another reason why we just need to, I think, standardize. The other reason, too, for the sheriff's office, of all those numbers I've given you, there's about 150-plus devices, I see Captain Gentry left, that our CAD, our Spillman for our dispatch will only run on Apple devices. Mm-hmm. The sheriff's office is already standardized on Apple devices because of that very nature of their business. Fire, they're also going to iPads and iPhones for these very same reasons. And I do believe Ada County has already done this years back about iPhone is their standard iPad and for the mobile side. So for those reasons, I think Android should not be supported. We do not have any systems out there currently to manage those like we do the iPhones. We have a product called Jamf that actually, when we get an iPhone in, IT can take it, provision it, hand it out, which means someone can still load apps on it, but it's secured with our products. And if for whatever reason an employee is exited, for whatever reason, we can recover that device because right now, if we get an Android back that's locked, it's garbage. We throw it away. So to me, that's another liability and a cost savings measure by getting rid of them. We won't have that problem with iPhones. So the other thing too is if we're running multi-factor authentication, I wanna make sure that application that we use is Duo is sitting on a platform that's secure, which is the iPhone. And we have two methods for multi-factor authentication, which articulates in this policy that if you don't have a county-owned device, you can't run Duo application to authenticate yourself. The other option is a fob. It's a small little device. You hit a button. It creates a number that's unique to you. You use that number to log in. And those would be issued just like an identification badge. So ultimately, every county employee will have at least a fob. But if the EO and DA feels like a COD, a cell phone is warranted, that's required with voice, text, email at their hand, they can get a COD, they will not get a phone. So it's one or the other.
again, this articulates all of that.
Chairman, I'm sorry, on that, before you leave that point, there are, I think what I'm hearing you say is that in that evaluation, there will be some people today that have a phone that maybe won't have a phone, they'll have a fob instead.
Correct. Commissioner Van Beek, as we roll out 365, as it being a requirement at MFA, if you have Duo on a personal device or you want to use your personal device, we're going to give you a fob. We just were not putting anything on a personal device. It's easy to monitor MFA because on the back end, when you assign a user, we either track it by phone number or by token serial number on the fob. So we can audit this, we can export it, we know who's using what. Right now, we have no ability to do that.
Okay, thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
No, totally fine. This is a big topic, and it's been a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so with this policy, there's also an authorization form that's tied to the policy, and I know I've shared individually with the commissioners, and you've had input on this, is we would like to have an EO or DA or designee authorize the issue of a fob, a COD, or laptop equipment for remote access. We're consolidating all these forms into one policy, one signature, and then you can articulate what you want that employee by user to use. So this does fix a myriad of issues, I think, from a liability standpoint, a standardization standpoint, a management standpoint, and a cost center standpoint.
Chairman?
Yes.
I have a couple of comments. I have 7.5 years here, which is less than a lot of the people in the room here today, but I wanted to point out on page 2 one of the edits that I wanted to make sure that we included under a county-owned device definition is every county-owned device will be asset tagged. So that, I don't know why that was a hard fight. That was a hard fight. We had things, which is scary to me, trying to access our network, things that would breach and jeopardize our cybersecurity. This should help fix that problem as well. That should not have been a thing. And what this will do by having all those items asset tagged, first of all, there will be a procurement process that makes sure that IT is the one that is securing the equipment. So all of that, if I understand it correctly, is going to go through IT, be tagged, and then disseminated to the office or department that goes to. So is that true?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Beek, yes. All cell phones are usually ordered through IT and then charged back to the office department. There is one exception, and that's the sheriff's office.
Yeah.
But via MOU, IT works closely with ETS. So we actually provision the phone in IT, and we hand it to ETS, and then they put it out in the field for 911 services.
Yeah.
So we're already working in tandem, but I want to at least say that the sheriff's office has their own account because they have 911 chargebacks, reimbursements. They use FirstNet for Verizon or AT&T. They use PriorityNet for Verizon. So we work closely with them.
Yeah.
Overall, in the county perspective, that is true.
Yeah. And then the other thing, when those are returned voluntarily or involuntarily, there's an end of useful life or a termination to that so that we can track the acquisition and the disposal. That was not happening before. The county had equipment disappearing. And that's not fair to the taxpayer. So this one I'm particularly stuck on. The other thing, your comments regarding access to the internet and cybersecurity. There was a concerted effort when you were in the CIO role exclusively to go to a .gov for the county to just help secure some of that. I think that it's just what we need to do as we move into the future. And I'm not the expert in IT. Anybody will tell you that. But this is good policy. It's policy that's been needed for a long time. We're also going to four laptops and all this equipment that's included in there. There's a dollar value. There's another policy coming about procurement in the future that will wrapper all that into one department, ordering and acquiring that just because it makes sense. So that is a part of that, but it's a little bit off the trail, Chairman. Thank you for letting me just expound on that. There's so much that's in this policy that's been needed for a number of years. So I don't know if the chief has anything to add to that or not, but
Not really.
Okay.
I think the important part is that COOs come to us individually, and we've got to go over this and go over this and go over this present our questions and our concerns, I'm glad that legal's gone clear through it on that direction, because it's important. It's important to me and the Android thing is a bigger deal. I know there's great discussions. Oh, you're a snob. You have an iPhone instead of this Android. But where the developers are open license to do whatever they want to do, that's a dangerous platform. When you're talking security, you're talking people's livelihood, not only their livelihood, you're talking like the PAs, talking courts, you're talking the sheriff, you're talking ongoing investigations. I'm not interested in providing that form of privacy that we have to maintain and worry about an Android. With the best of intentions with the owner, getting into a situation that you put something on our network that is just insidious and very difficult to eradicate. So there's a reason why on an iPhone that you see the difference between green and blue, and it reminds you all the time that if you're talking to another iPhone, you have a much greater level of security than if you communicate with an Android. So even the industry knows that.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, on this one too, is as the CIO, the interim side, hopefully someday, not the CIO, one of my roles is to make sure the data is secure. So sometimes present stuff is not the most favorable thing. I think I've talked to the assessor, which is in the audience today, that as IT, we don't police data, and there's nothing bad about this statement, is I really don't care about that data. But what I care about is making sure the security around that data is solid. So that way the assessor can do his job, his work, and make sure the public knows that we're in safeguarding their data. Because IT has no idea what data looks like on the network. We don't have time to look at it. We don't monitor it. There's no way we can stay on top of what actually is there. But the one thing we do have to make sure we classify in the business is HIPAA records, CGIS records, protected and privileged documents. We've got to make sure that's protected. And this falls right into all of that. And with our information security officer that we have, this is what keeps him up at night, as having those 500 and some devices that we're not sure about.
Yeah.
And one last thing. I remember when we started this discussion, there was Chromebooks on the network, and it was curious to me as a newcomer why we did not allow someone who was the subject matter expert. So in the simplest way, I could say we're going to let the prosecutors prosecute. We're going to let the IT people do what they do best. I don't understand all of that. We're going to let the facilities do their job. We're going to let the public information officer do their job. We're going to let the assessor do his job. This is a really specialized and area that needs a lot of security. And I am so glad that today we can say we're moving toward letting the people that can do that job do it. They will do it the best. And I'm thankful for people that are in the room that represent their area of expertise, but I'm happy to move forward with a motion if you're ready, Chairman.
I am.
Chairman, I move that the Board of County Commissioners signs and adopts the mobile device and remote access policy as presented. And thank you, Chief Rast, for your work on this.
Yeah. Thank you, too. I would gladly second that motion. So the motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. So, and I know that Commissioner Brooks, if he was here, he would be a strong aye also.
So, Mr. Chair, with that, I know Commissioner Brooks read this as well. He communicated to me that he's in support and to use a stamp on this one as well.
Okay.
If you're okay with that. But I do want to thank the civil legal team. They spent a lot of time on this too to make sure that we're covering everything on the liability side.
Okay. All right.
And, Chairman, our insurance does require that we have a cybersecurity. So this is another great win on that side.
All right. Okay, is there anything else on this subject?
Yes. This one, there's no other discussion I have, but we do need an executive session.
Okay.
We have some stuff that the board really needs to be aware of under DNF.
Okay.
DNF. Okay.
Yep. Well, Thank you for all those that joined us, and have a great afternoon. I move that we adjourn to executive session under Idaho Code 742061, subsection D, records exempt, and we might have to get that later. Sorry, Andrew. And F, to communicate with legal counsel regarding pending or likely litigation. Chairman, let me just ask the question before we second the motion. There was a request for just our public facing. Do we want pictures now or later for the proclamation?
Well, let's just take a short recess.
Yeah.
There. Okay, perfect. So he's here and that makes sense. So, Chairman, I'll put the motion on hold and ask for a recess.
What does that look like?
I don't know.
Okay. let's consider ourselves recessed for the next 5-10 minutes. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.